Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Happy Monday morning to you, 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Jack Lancaster with me today. Hi, Jack.
Good morning, sir.
That's your British Fab Four shirt on. Welcome back to America.
Saw these guys at TuaCon.
Yeah? Wait a minute. Wait. Oh, I thought it was like a British... Because you just went to London.
That's true. Yeah, it kind of is in that vibe, yeah.
I thought you got that in London.
No. Okay. I do have a London t-shirt with a big Union Jack flag on it like this one does.
Oh, nice. Good old Jack and his Union.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know what it is, but I don't know what it
Union
means.
Jack. That's the name of their flag.
Right. No, yeah. I know. Yeah. Well, there's one on that one, too.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So,
welcome, everybody, to the program. I'm going to play a little excerpt from Kim Komando, and hopefully it's not there aren't too many commercials in it, but I thought that this was kind of fascinating, and this is what we're going to start talking
about. Is she the digital goddess?
She's the digital goddess. Okay. Plays every Saturday. I also play a segment every morning, a consumer tech, the daily update.
Okay.
And this one was from the other day. Hopefully, like I said, there's not too many commercials in here.
Post-tech update today. We're going to revisit a top-notch call from my weekend show, the Kim Komando Show, that you absolutely need to hear. Mm. Florida and Indiana were the first states to ban students' cell phones in class. Los Angeles has followed. New York is about to. I'm Kim Komando for Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. Accelerate your AI workload today. Take a free test drive at oracle.com/Kim. In the classroom, phones are a distraction. They're dangerous when students use them to post unfounded rumors and hateful comments during school hours. But we live in a world of uncertainty. Parents want a way to contact kids during the day. The best compromise? Follow the concert promoters. Most require that smartphones be checked into a locker or stored in a special pouch before the concert. 41 states, including Nevada, are trying the pouch idea this year. But locking pouches costs money, so the least expensive option is requiring phones be powered off during school hours. If the rule is violated, the phone is confiscated until the end of the school year. It would only take one or two confiscations to make this rule work. Enter to win a brand new iPhone 16 right now.
Okay. Basically, she's talking about kids not having their phones. That was not exactly the one the soundbite I was hoping for. There was another soundbite by her. She said, amazingly, they found kids that have not been allowed to use their phone during the school day are more attentive.
Amazing.
They are happier.
It's crazy.
They are calmer.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, no, it's true. I know you're being sarcastic, but I think that, you know, as much as we are, we got to have our phones, I think we're finally starting to figure out that, you know, you don't need them every second of every day.
Yeah. We should probably do something like this. And I say we, but I didn't even do that. Well, when my kids were in school, I didn't give them phones.
Okay.
They didn't get phones.
Even high school, 16, 17-year-old?
No, I don't remember. I don't think so.
All right.
But instead of a smartphone, just give them a stupid phone.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah. Well, they'll say, but I need my calculator during school, Dad.
Well, that's too bad. Use your head.
Buy
a calculator. Like
$10.
Yeah. Go buy a calculator.
Yeah. All right.
There's a pencil. That's what what was your calculator? Did you have a calculator? Of course, I didn't do the advanced math where you needed one.
Yeah, I think I had to buy. There was one class. It was like Algebra 2. You had to buy a Texas Instrument, TIA 80 or whatever it was.
And
you know, it had sine and cosine and tangent and cotangent and all that stuff on it. I think I had to get one of those once for one class. But the minute the class was over, I never used it again.
If I had a class that needed one of those, I didn't do very well in it.
Well, so I was, you know, that segment from Kim Komando talked about how banning cell phones are actually enhancing.
I'm surprised that that New York State and Los Angeles were going to do it.
Yeah.
That kind of surprised me in the list. Florida and what was the other state? There was two states. There was Florida and another
state. New York.
Well, there's another state.
I don't remember.
And that didn't surprise me, but I thought Los Angeles, New York State's considering it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So in the Deseret News, on their website, there's someone that wrote they do kind of a point and counterpoint. Somebody wrote an article saying why we should ban phones, very well reasoned out, and I agree with most of it. And then they had someone right, article, Judy Davis, on why there should be phones allowed in schools. And so I thought we'd take a minute, Jack, to kind of maybe break apart their argument and talk, break it down.
You know what would be cool?
Yeah.
Is what are the local schools' policies right now here in town?
We can find that out. There is no school-wide, there is no district-wide policy on phones.
So it's a school, you know.
School by school, class by class rule. Yeah, some teachers will make you put them away in a
Yeah, I think my daughters just said they couldn't have it out. They would just, if they had it in their pocket and turned off or silenced, as long as they didn't go into it, mm-hmm. they were fine.
Okay. So you were going to, you know what would be cool? What were you saying would be cool?
What would be cool is if we could just teach the kids to, not access the phone during class.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, the confiscation thing, you know, that would work.
Let me ask you about your business.
Uh-huh.
You have employees.
Yes.
You don't ban them from having a phone with them, right?
Of course not. Yeah.
But what do you expect?
I actually got lockers.
Okay.
So that the employees would not have the excuse of keeping the phones in their pockets. So they could put, they have to put the phone, when they come in and clock in, they got to put their phones in their locker.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't carry them around in their pockets.
My managers do, but that's it.
Really?
Yeah. And once in a while.
Have you had pushback on it?
Once in a while, you see them on their phone, and then we say, that's supposed to be in your locker.
If you want to work here, if you want to make money,
yeah.
you should not be using
you're on my
your
time.
Phone during.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Might.
So, it you know, once in a while, you know, if we don't, if they, I don't know. I think they sneak in once, or they forget, or whatever. But that's we actually bought a big bank, and lockers aren't cheap, by the way.
No, cheaper than cell phones, but
they're not cheap. Yeah. Like a bank of like 3, 6, 9, 12 lockers was $1,000.
So your little back room, you have lockers, uh-huh. and your employees uh-huh. put your phone in your locker.
Put your phone in your locker, and it's good because each employee has a locker, and they put their name on it, and they put their little lock on it. And so it's nice because they have a little space there. So
that is nice.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's what we do, except the managers. They can have their phones because sometimes we need to call them.
Has anybody ever said, well, that's kind of a violation of my rights to make me.
Then you don't have to work here.
Mm. I agree 100%
and
with you.
And if you're in the food handling business, ooh. Handling your phone is not sanitary.
No, no.
Because, you know, where do most people look at their phones? What are they doing?
I am proud to say, by the way, you're bringing this up. I am proud to say this phone has never been in a bathroom. So we have the bathroom and then a room where the toilet is. This phone has never been in the toilet room, ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm
so that's one of the big reasons why we do it. It's a sanitary issue.
No, absolutely.
And so we really enforce that.
Some say the surface of your smartphone is dirtier than the handle in a bathroom.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
So that's the big reason.
Okay. I like it. Do you have fellow friends who are business owners? Do they institute the same kind of policy?
Yeah. I couldn't give you a chapter and verse on that, you know, but
For the most part.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, you go to the bank, and if the teller's not doing anything, they're sitting on their looking mm-hmm. on their phone, mm-hmm. so they have them right there. I can tell you that. I mean, but I don't. You know.
You know, businesses are interesting.
Yeah.
Because there are some businesses like yours. There's always something to do for the employee. It's not like there's downtime.
Right.
But there are a few businesses out there where there's downtime, where the employee kind of doesn't really have anything to do until the next thing or
whatever.
Well,
it's like here, when I was working in sales, I had my phone out all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, I would make phone calls on it instead of my desk phone because that's where my directory was on my phone.
Right.
So
right.
it just was easier to do the slip, you know, flip it and make the call. That way, then they knew that it was from me instead of from somebody else.
So my daughter, who she's actually in Spain studying abroad right now. I'm kind of proud of that. She's
with
the BYU study abroad program in Madrid.
Uh-huh.
But she worked, her last job, she worked 10 p.m. to about 8 a.m. in the Smith's Bakery in Provo.
Okay.
And her job was much like my job here is you don't have a quota. You have to do X amount of things. You have to stay here X amount of hours. You have certain things that have to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it takes 7 hours or 10 hours, those things have to be done every day. And so they actually allowed her to have her phone with her. But to her, it was like, if I get on my phone, then that means my job is going to take longer. So, right. So, and there was, you know, the sanitary thing too, because if she ever touched anything but
yeah.
what she was doing, she had to like get new gloves and everything like that. Right. But, and so for me, like, I don't like to get on my phone, maybe except when I'm eating lunch, because I'm just going to be here longer if I do. I'm hurting myself.
Right, right. Yeah, you got to get your stuff done. You can move on to the next thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So. I guess it just depends on situation, like anything. But in school, I think we can all agree that that's probably too much of a distraction.
Okay, most of us agree, but Judy Davis doesn't agree. I'm going to read you some of her arguments on why students should have phones.
All right.
And if you want to react to those. Number one is, say, big, gigantic, 72-point bold letters, safety. Kids need direct, efficient, and available communication with parents during emergencies. If a fire, shooting, natural disaster, or big one, earthquake happens, better to have a phone accessible. I'm reading this, and I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Because I went to school, public school, for 13 years.
Yeah, nothing ever
Never
happened.
Had a fire, a school shooting, an earthquake, a tornado. It didn't happen.
No.
So how can that be an argument?
That's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
And even though we had a tragic school shooting the other day, it's not the likelihood of something happening in the school that you're in at the moment that you're there is very, very, very low.
Yeah.
So, an earthquake. I mean, we had the fire drills, which was fun.
Yeah. How many fire drills did we have? You know, usually, what, one a month or every 2 months?
Not even that.
How many fires did we have?
Zero.
That would be none.
Well, it'd be hard. You know, those schools are made out of brick.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I have a relative of mine who believes that she said they'll have to, I don't think she used the word kill me first, but she said my kids will have their phones with them at all times, period.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why? Well, if anything ever happens, I need to be able to get a hold of them. They need to be able to get a hold of me. And I'm like,
look, again, what happened in the days before the phone, you know?
Yeah.
Or you know, it's like anything. I mean, if the kid's disciplined enough that they're not going to take it out at their in proper time, then it shouldn't be a problem.
Good point. All right. Argument number two, that students should have phones. Functionality. Minor student emergencies happen every day. Accidents, forgotten homework, no lunch money, lost permission slip, etc. Students need the freedom to solve these problems directly with parents in a couple of seconds during class breaks or class downtime without having to go to the office. That's argument number two.
Don't buy it.
Come on. Give me more than that. What do you
That's
got?
Not emergency when you forgot your homework. That's lack of preparedness.
It's
you know, I have a saying.
Mm-hmm.
It says...
I know what it is.
What is it?
Lack of preparedness on your part does not necessarily constitute an emergency on my part.
Yep.
I like that saying.
Yep.
I really do. All right, number three, argument on why students should have cell phone support. Facing limitless challenges of a war zone school day, students need immediate accessible parental support in critical moments. When they're having anxiety or a breakdown, a parent can be there to know how to encourage and counsel privately and quickly. I don't know what to do. I'm stressed. I'm about to throw up. Can you please check me out? I hate life. Kids need their primary backup team. Don't sever their connection with parents during school hours. Protect it.
That tells me that you've raised a real snowflake.
I'm thinking about the irony of that.
Yeah.
The whole reason kids, not the whole reason, but I would say 95% of the reason kids have anxiety and depression and all these problems is because they're so tied to their phones. And this lady's arguing, well, you know, they're going to have anxiety, so they need the phone.
No, they need to socialize more.
Yeah.
They need to learn to solve their own problems.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Argument number four.
We're going to get slammed for this conversation, buddy.
Well, maybe
so. We're so callous.
And by the way, I got a few texts. Let me see if I should read them now or if we should. Let's continue with our discussion, and then I'll get to the text. Reason number five, four, learning. Tech-savvy teachers use the phones to their advantage and make them part of their classroom, such as Quizlet. Tech-savvy students look up facts online. They're Googling them. Search their own and take pictures of the calculus equations or Latin vocabulary on the whiteboard to study later. These are important good things we should encourage, not ban, according to Judy.
That's actually a good argument.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So
if it be,
but,
if
but wouldn't teacher, you say they are actually kind of cheating sometimes by?
Well,
doesn't that encourage cheating?
I don't know if it's cheating. Tell me you're not going to use your phone to look up the answer to a question in everyday life that you don't have the answer to.
I don't do it much, but every time I used to be the guy, and the Cliff Clavin and the although Cliff was usually wrong, but I used to be the guy that knew little stupid
Cheers
things.
Reference,
and
there.
People would ask me, and yeah, I love Cheers. Anyway, and then so my sister-in-law and sometimes my wife, now they look things up after I tell them the answer.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time I was right, but every once in a while they're like, actually, dear, and yeah, my wife will show me, actually, but...
they live for that, though.
They do, yeah. He thinks he's so smart. Well, I'll show him. I Googled it, and he's wrong, and I'm like, well, okay, well, sometimes my answer is, what makes you think Google is correct, and I'm wrong?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
All right, number five, implications. This is Judy's arguments that students should be allowed to have phones with them at all times. Passing state legislation to ban distraction is a slippery slope. Consistency is problematic. Teens already wonder why their phones are restricted when teachers check their texts in class. Should we ban other distractions for students? Computers, peers, daydreaming? Should we ban phones for adults multitasking in board meetings or from cars because cell phones are a distraction to drivers, disregarding safety and navigation needs? Consider the root implications of this tool versus weapon legislation. Should we ban pencils to prevent potential poking and doodling? Cell phones like pencils are tools, not weapons.
Okay, I agree with the anti-legislative argument.
Okay.
Because I'm generally on the side of, less laws are better because you get unintended consequences.
Okay, but here's the deal. I agree with you. Legislation statewide, yes, but I'm not against rules by the school district to say we are not allowing phones.
I would say if you're a state legislature, you could make a law that says the state, make it, if you want to codify it, put it out there and says the state does not have a law or will make a law against school districts restricting student use of phones. Let them, say, look, that there's not going to be a law on it or whatever.
I'm going to read Judy's conclusion here, and then we'll get to these texts.
Okay.
Judy concludes, please do not universally ban cell phones during school hours. This would sever vital communication between parents and children, lessen safety and security in emergencies, hamper student and teacher independence, set precarious legislation implications, and prevent access to learning tools that empower students to succeed in an increasingly technological world.
For me, she's like 1.5 out of her 4.
Okay.
So what does our listener say?
All right, let's go to the text lines. Wrong one. I have a doctor's appointment. But anyway. Are Jack's employees allowed to wear Apple Watches? Just curious when it comes to important texts from home, etc.
Yeah, probably.
Mine tells me. My phone tells me when I get a text.
Yeah, they can wear their watch.
I mean, my watch does.
Yeah, that's
okay.
I haven't.
Have you had a case where an employee sees something on their watch and then has to go to the locker and get their phone?
It's possible. It's happened. I mean, I'm not there all the time.
Oh, they're hiding it from you.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know if anybody's got one.
All right. Good for both of you for voicing your honest opinion. We agree with you 100%.
Oh.
Thank you. So, like I said, it's a slippery slope, like you said, like Judy said, even in legislating it, in outright banning it by law.
I would have that to me is a little bit less, local, more locals, more better. Because, again, if teachers can have the authority to say, in this class, I don't care about your other classes. In this class, this is the phone rule, and I have the authority to confiscate your phone if you break the rule. So here we go. And then she has to enforce it once or twice and then confiscate it. Well, how long is she going to keep it for? Well, she turns it into the main office. They put it in a locker. They do whatever they do with it. I don't know. But something like that. Anything that would be closer to the actual thing.
Does that leave it open to lawsuits? School districts have a lot of power. I mean, when my kids were in, and my kids are all graduated now, but I remember one of my boys got their cell phone confiscated, and this was back before smartphones. It was a, a flip phone.
Yeah.
And we had to go into the school, into the office, and retrieve the phone. They wouldn't even let him get it back. We had to go get it and then give it to him.
Yeah.
And, my thoughts were, what did he do wrong?
Yeah.
And they said, well, he had his cell phone out. Okay, was he texting or something? Well, we don't know. It was just out. And so I was kind of like, man, that's a major pain in the neck for my wife and I to go get the phone because he had it out.
Yeah.
And they said, well, that's our policy, period. Yeah. And there was no recourse.
Schools can be very black and white on policy, mm-hmm. which can be good and bad.
Right.
Right. In this case, I can understand. I could argue, well, we're going to make it inconvenient for the parent, too, so that parent can back up our policy on the phone issue.
If that
makes sense.
And it did work. I mean, I wasn't mad at the school.
Yeah.
I was mad at my son.
Right.
For doing it. I said, what happened? He said, well, I have my phone out. I said, was it supposed to be out? He goes, no, that's against the rules. I said, well, that's black and white. Son. He said, well, I got this text. I had to. And I said, it doesn't matter. The rule is you don't have your cell phone out during class.
Yeah, the kids learning the priorities now of life.
Yeah.
The text isn't a priority when you're in class.
Yeah.
The text is a secondary priority between classes or something.
I think there was if I recall, and this would have been 10 years ago, there was a secondary punishment. I took his phone away for a week.
Good,
so not only did not get the text.
So then the school, the rule was to get the parent involved so the parent became, aware and also inconvenienced.
Yeah.
So that reinforces their policy.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the phone line.
All right.
Thanks for calling in today. What's on your mind?
Well, I just remember that I had a couple of students before doing their hair, and they told me that they went, when the one girl was getting her driver's license, her friend went with her and sat a little ways away while she was taking her test, and she would text her the questions. And her friend would text her back the answers.
Oh, wow.
See, not good.
Not good at all.
So I'm sure I think they do it in a classroom, too.
I didn't even think of that.
Jack's like,
cheating on a test.
When's the last time you took a test, Jack? Come on.
No. Well, then what if you are taking the test and you have your phone out and you didn't really study and you look up the answers?
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that's a great point.
Okay.
Very
good
well
point.
Said. Thank you for calling. Appreciate that. Yeah, I don't have a problem with a district saying no phones in the classroom. And I know at BYU, and I can't speak for other colleges, but the testing phones are banned in the testing center. And I don't know how it was when you were in college. The last couple of schools I went to, BYU and Utah State, they have a big giant room called the testing center. And you didn't take tests in class very often.
Yeah.
You went to the testing center and filled out, the little color in the dot test.
Yeah, they didn't have that.
And it's a big giant room. I mean, the one at BYU was massive. Must have been 400 desks in this gigantic room. And every class at the university, you went to the testing center to take your finals and your midterms. And there were no phones when I was there, but my daughter tells me you turn your phone, you either don't bring it or you turn it in at the door at the testing center or they will not let you in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but the caller there makes a great point. You're allowed to take a test in and you don't know the answers. You got your friend out there going, well, hey, I got this or Googling it or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good reason not to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, got to get a weather break in, and we will come back. Jack Lancaster is with me today. We're talking cell phones and the classroom when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. He's Jack. We're talking cell phones and the classroom. Uh-oh. I just tried to break my microphone. Every once in a while I'll do that. I hit the thing and the things come off.
You just took all of the little supports off of that thing.
I got it back.
Okay.
We're good. Let's go right to the phone line. Comment about cell phones in schools. Hey, how's it going today? What are you up to?
Hello.
Are you there?
Hello.
Speaker, yeah, go ahead. Yep.
Jay, you touched on the point about the umbilical cord with mom and dad and the cell phones with all this Gen Z snowflake punk.
Yeah.
There's a correlation between that and the 30 and 25 and 40-year-olds living at home with mom and dad still.
Probably.
Yeah, that's definitely related, right?
Or us baby boomers aren't very good, as good a parents
Jack,
as our parents
Jack
were.
Jack touched on a good point during the break. He was talking to me. He said, maybe the biggest problem is we're not teaching our kids to be tougher. They're living with mom and dad. Something bad happens. Wow, they finish last and they go winless in their T-ball league. They get a participation trophy, right?
Well, yeah. I actually, to be honest with you, that never happened to any of my girls. Of course, my girls weren't in competitive sports, but if it did, I'd take my kid out of that league.
Really? You'd be done.
Yeah, that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Okay. Let's go to line two. Thanks for holding. They're on line two. Your thoughts on the topic?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Good. One hint you can look at is the Waldorf school in Silicon Valley, where the tech execs send their kids, and there are no screens, period.
Really?
They teach cursive handwriting, knitting, and, you know, they're more than happy to fulfill these big contract obligations with public schools to send their iPads and wired technology to them, but when it comes to their own kids, they don't want any part of it.
Is that a private school?
Yes.
And it's for these tech millionaire types?
Yeah, eBay guys and everybody
okay.
else.
Well, that kind of makes sense. You think about it.
Isn't that funny?
Well, that's very ironic.
It is dripping with irony. Hey, buy my product. I'm not going to use it, but buy my product. Yeah,
right, yeah. I'm not going to let my kids have any. Go to line, no screen time for you.
Line three. Hey, go. You're on with Andy and Jack. What's up?
Well, hi there. I didn't expect it so soon. I just wanted to say, hallelujah, you're talking about the phone industry. And like the last gentleman mentioned, there are many organizations that do not use their own product. One, i.e., the CEO of Select Health goes to holistic doctors.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No. And this is what I want to share with you. We are all duped. And we don't know we're duped. And as far as the phones are concerned, go to emfaware.com because these phones emit such unbelievable energy out. And I am attacked by the phone as well as a 5G. And this attacks children. But the other thing, too, is a child should not even have a phone in their hands.
Yeah.
Especially babies.
It's probably like a developmental issue with their brains and the radio waves.
It is, and also, too, there are neurologists, there are biochemists, engineers, summits that they have about this, that we are abusing our children by eliminating their development. They do not have deductive reasoning, critical reasoning, any cognitive reasoning, and they cannot remember. And it's our fault. And I have been attacked, and children are attacked, and it is a new issue, and it's called microwaving disease. It needs to be talked about.
All right. Thanks for the call. There's a pretty good analogy with the food industry, right? We know, study after study has shown that high fructose corn syrup is harmful to humans' health.
Yeah.
But we like our soda pops.
Uh-huh.
We like our candy bars. We like our cookies. We like our cake. All those things, even things such as processed meats and cheeses have high fructose corn syrup in them. And the American public, demands that we have these things because we love them. And so, I have Dr. Blodgett on once a month, and I'm going to try to answer the phone while I'm talking. I have Dr. Blodgett on once a month, and he always talks about, there's only so much you can do as a health official when public demand says, I want my soda pop, I want my Twinkies or whatever. He says, we could try to ban this, but there would be outright riots. They wouldn't let it happen.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it is with these
smartphones. The problem is, I think, is our tolerance for, let's say, soda, is that if you have one soda, one 12-ounce or 20-ounce soda a week, it's not going to hurt you.
Right.
But we don't do that. We have one a day or one two a day or 10 a day.
No, you're right. You're right.
And I think it's like if you can moderate that, if you can say, well, once a week would be the max. But most of us just aren't that disciplined.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we always go back to when we were kids, because I guess that's the only thing I have to look at is I didn't drink soda that much because it was expensive.
Right.
I didn't have the money.
Right.
You know, I wasn't going to, you know, mom and dad, unless I never got an allowance, but unless I got a job, I didn't have money. Or if I collected, pop bottles and turned them in.
Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. No allowance for me either.
Yeah.
You want money? Go get it yourself.
Yeah. Go figure it out. and so. As we get older, I know for me, it's like, well, I've got money now. I'm going to get what I want. I deserve it. Mm-hmm. And that's not a healthy thing because, you know, I'll binge on, I hate to say this, my wife went out of town for the weekend.
Here it comes.
And I bought a big box of cookies and I ate them in less than a day. The family size.
All right, Jeff.
Because I could.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're a grown-up. It's up to you to make your own.
Yeah, but that wasn't a healthy choice.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, you know, something I deserved.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Hey, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Morning.
A little bit of rebuttal on the last call. I just heard on the news last week that they've done all these studies with phones and causing cancer. Of course, what can you believe with news these days? But right. They said no. But I had three teenage kids that live with my wife and I for grandparents, and their phone is never up to their ear. They're always texting, or they're on the speakerphone, but mainly they're texting. Never see their phones up to their ears talking to people. All they do is text. That's their form of communication.
Yeah, and I've got a photograph of my three daughters and my wife. We're coming back from Mexico, from a trip to Mexico, and we're sitting at the airport waiting to catch the next flight, and every one of them is on their phones.
Yeah.
And they're texting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's to the point where we'll text people in the same room as us if we want them to know something. But so
you walk in a restaurant, any restaurant, and you see the whole family. Every one of them are on their phones.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and the other thing too is I'll ask my son, will you find out if so and so is coming? And they're like, yeah, well, I did text them. They haven't answered yet. I'm like, well, why don't you actually call them? He's, oh, Dad, nobody calls anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I mean, I think we're scrambling for answers because the children are not living the life that we did. And so it's different, and we're there's so much that's different. So it's hard to put your finger on what it is that's different, or that's causing, you know, the ADHD so much, you know,
depression, anxiety,
whatever it is. And I think social media, you know, delivered through the phone would be just as good a thing. I think, you know, perhaps the non-organic, you know, diet that we were talking about, all the sugars and everything and the obesity in children.
Yeah.
You know, certainly. So, yep. It's probably a multiple of reasons.
Yep, a lot of contributing factors to how people get ill.
Yeah.
It's just not the phone.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, we'll go to line four if I can hit the right button. Hey, what's going on? Thank you for calling today.
Is that me?
Yep.
Okay, I just wanted to say a few years ago I was going through pretty rough times and I had a couple employees that I was working with and I would talk about my problems and stuff, but they had pretty darn hard lives. So what I'm trying to say is for what they went through, it was a piece of cake what I was going through, but I just think parents just do way too much for their children nowadays and you need to let them kind of have a little bumps in the road, you know. So that's all I need to say. Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
I agree that there's a picture of them all on their phones. I think she's right in that we, in our efforts, and I say we, I include me and you, Jack, try so hard to make things easier for our kids, to fix things for our kids, that sometimes, I mean, she's right, sometimes we they need to work it out themselves, and we don't want to let. We want to make it better.
It's our fault too.
It is.
You know,
it is.
It's easier to put your kid in front of the TV than it is to say, "Hey,
yeah, let's do something. Talk. Yeah,
go outside and play." Yeah. Well, outside's dangerous.
It is. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, welcome back. Jack waxes poetic when we're off the air, and I'm like, dude, this is good stuff. Save it for on the air. Oh, man, I didn't do it that time. It just fell. Microphone.
Andy, you don't even know your own strength, dude.
Apparently, something like that. Anyway, all right, we're talking cell phones. And by the way, if you want to call, we have about 10 minutes left, 673-5890. And texting is 467-5842. Here's a text. I'm 48, and we had this technology when I was young. I would probably fall into the same phone addiction. Had we had it, I would fall into the same phone addiction. Instead, I was out riding four-wheelers and bikes. I'm sure most of us, having access to technology when we were younger, would have taken full advantage of the technology.
Couldn't agree more.
So remember, Jack, when we were young, we used to get that you watch too much TV. Yeah, you're going to rot your brain. You're going to ruin your eyes. You're
right.
And we were watching, you know, Charlie's Angels and Gilligan's Island and whatever.
Star Trek.
Fantasy Island. Star Trek. And I'd like to think we turned out okay, but... My question to you now is watching that much TV,
it's the same.
Is bad.
I think okay. So in my opinion, I've had attention deficit issues in my life. I've really had to, you know, work on focusing and doing the job.
Okay, yeah.
And I could probably contribute that to television. But you know, back in the day, at least we had a shared experience. We all know, you know, who the seven stranded castaways are here on Gilligan's Isle.
Marianne Ginger, Professor Skipper. The millionaire and his wife, and Gilligan.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, we can all relate because we had a shared experience because there was only, you know, 20 or 30 shows out there to be, you know, in total.
There was only like four channels.
Three or four channels that you could get. And so you had that shared experience. You know, and today you don't even have that shared experience. There's so many different things out there.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to do that. But I still think it's a screen time issue. You know, so if you want to talk about how do we solve these types of issues, and the problem is it's going to require a lot of discipline. I watched my daughter comes over, my daughter and her husband, they're big South Park fans, and we watched the South Park issue where Cartman's mother tries to discipline him, and she hires the nannies, and they all get run out. Cartman just destroys them, and so she finally hires the Caesar, the dog whisperer.
I'm sorry, I don't watch that show, so I don't know what you're talking
The point
about.
Is that he's so spoiled rotten, he runs the house because she lets him get away with everything she wants. But the way he was changed was she had to change her parenting style.
Hmm.
And that's, okay, guys, we have no one to look to but ourselves. We have no one to blame but ourselves as parents. If our children are running amok, that's on us. And I'm just as guilty as maybe the next guy.
I read a thing the other day. It was talking to a coach, and the coach said, man, coach, kids sure have changed. The coach was having a hard time getting a kid to come to practice on time.
Yeah.
And the guy said, yeah, boy, kids sure have changed. And the coach said, no, they haven't. He said, parents have changed.
Right.
He says, it's not the kid's fault. Kids just do what they're taught.
Right. Well, even remember the was it Mr. Miyagi?
Yeah,
he said there are no bad students, only bad teachers.
Oh, wow!
Yeah,
that's humbling. Then,
yeah,
if your kid's screwing up, you put the finger out and you look. Oh, three of the fingers are pointing back at me.
Right, right.
Hmm.
So, if we want, the problem is again, you know, compared to my parents' life, I had a Cadillac life, and my kids' lives compared to my parents' lives, unthinkable.
Yeah,
you know, just, you know, my mother's idea of a treat was bread and milk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was her idea of a treat.
Man, you remember the cinnamon toast? And you there's nothing in the house. You put some bread in the toaster and put some butter on it and then sprinkle some sugar and cinnamon on it.
Yeah.
That was
cinnamon toast.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mind blowing.
And now I eat cereal that's called cinnamon toast crunch.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, I don't know.
So it's us, man.
Yeah. But by the same token.
But we've got more distractions.
Yeah.
You know, in order for us to be more, okay, if you look at the house that you grew up in, and I look at the house that I was born into in Las Vegas, you know, it was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, you know, 1,200 square foot home, right?
Okay. Not fancy, but pretty basic.
Yeah. And the house that I live in now, requires 2 incomes.
Right.
But back in the day, that other house, that 1,200 square foot home, required 1 income.
But wages are different now compared to house prices, right?
But also we demand more of ourselves.
So if you lived in a small 3-bedroom right now, could you do it on 1 income?
Yes.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. So, all right.
If I would have bought that house, let's say 15 years ago. Yes, right. Absolutely.
Yeah, things have gotten a little crazy right now. But yeah. Right. All right. Darren's on line 1. Darren, what's up?
You were talking about cell phones before I called. So.
Well, we're back to cell phones.
About houses. Oh, okay.
No, you can go back to cell phones.
Come back.
We're good.
We go off on tangents. That's what we do.
Oh, yeah. No, no. How you doing, Jack?
Good.
So I growing up, you know, even with TV time, I remember my parents limited us. We on screen time.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a good thing. But, you know, with today, with the dangers of school, you know, I mean, I think it's necessary to have phones, you know, in school. I know that's a big, you know, big topic.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that you think that they should have their phones in case something bad happens?
I think they should have it with them. They shouldn't be able to be on it in the classroom, but perhaps, you know, where they can, you know, if my son was, our daughter was in a school that was, being where they are trapped inside with a shooter, I'd want to know. as soon as possible.
Yeah, and I understand know, that, you know, of course. So are you for the idea that a teacher has the right to confiscate the phone if the kid's abusing the rules?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So I remember when we were in a distant church in a bishopric meeting and we were talking about everyone in our congregation had the phones, and they're talking about maybe asking people to put away, and I go, well, they access the hymns on that now. They access the scriptures on that.
Yeah, true. Yeah. It's true.
Really, I mean, they access everything, you know, on that now. So, and the bishop was like, oh, yeah, okay, I didn't think of that. It's just, you know, everything is on your phone nowadays, and it's it's good. It's good, and it's bad. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff on there, too. But,
yeah.
So.
Yes, I was
all right. Thanks, Darren. Appreciate you calling.
I was in church, and I guess I was bored, and I was on Maps, and I was just looking at places in the world
on Maps. Okay,
and I hit a thing, and there was a video that started.
Oh
playing
no! And you didn't have your sound turned down. That's embarrassing.
My wife That's starts hitting me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, somebody's speaking, right? And you're in sacrament meeting, somebody's speaking, and they run across the subject and go, hey, that's interesting. And then I'll do a search, make sure my volume's down, about what they were talking about because I want to learn a little bit more.
Yeah.
I like that part.
Yeah, and you could make the case. I have a friend who plays, like, mindless games, like Yahtzee or something, in church. And I was like, hey, dude, he goes, I'm listening to every word. He says, this is a game that takes zero thought, really.
Yeah, but you got to.
But I'm listening. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, but.
You got to be.
I don't know.
Okay, look,
I
mean, if we're going to go
good,
off.
He made a good argument, though.
I know, like, but I don't know how you.
He listened closer than I did.
Okay, we're going to do a little inside Mormon here for a minute. Okay, how do you have the spirit? How do you have the spirit with you when you're doing that? I mean, are you being taught by the voice and the spirit, or are you just. Okay. Hmm. Now, look, it's not for me to judge. Because I have to have that discipline. I play a card game on my phone, you know, 10 times a day, but I purposely don't touch that card game when I'm in church.
Good for you.
And I just do the scriptures or whatever is a tenet. Because I feel like it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
You know.
That's true. And
I've sat behind guys in church, and they're watching the football game. And we're all just thinking, why are you here, buddy?
Yeah.
You know, just go home and watch the game.
That's true. But isn't it better that he's there and he has the phone with him than if he's not coming at all? I mean,
I would say probably not.
No?
He should be home. He should be where his heart is.
I disagree. At least he's coming. At least he's made,
I don't know, a
little bit. Surely he doesn't spend every second of the whole time he's there looking at the game, right? Well, I mean, look, a little is better
than
none.
Okay, we're veering off subject. Okay. Why?
We're almost out of time.
Why take the time, unless you're going to make use out of it? If you take the time to get up, to get a shower, get your Sunday best on, go to church, why not get something out of that hour and a half, 2 hours that you're there?
Hmm. Good point.
Make something of it.
All right. He's Jack. I'm Andy. Thanks for listening.
Okay, buddy.
By the way, we're going to talk with Steve Dunham from the school district about this, too, in a couple of days.
All right. We're going to get some answers here. We deserve real answers.
We do. See you tomorrow, buddy.